Well, without further ado, let's go to Leighton Beard, who is on the line waiting to chat to us. Leighton, good morning. Thanks for joining us so early on a Sunday morning.
Thank you, Amy. Good to be with you. Good to talk to you.
Horrible news about this another petrol price hike and a very steep one at that.
Yeah, it isn't great news at all. And I think the big concern is the price to diesel that is going up. We know that that's an input cost, manufacturing sector, agricultural sector. 55 cents is a lot. You know, when that gets added to that price, then obviously those sectors will absorb it by passing those increases on to consumers. Mm. So not a great, not great news at all. And I mean, this increase to the petrol price of around 90 cents, it's really significant. And, you know, we made the point in our press release, Amy, when we spoke about it last week, you know, we're paying anything between 20 and 30% more for fuel in August than we were in January. So I think that gives you an indication of how burdened South African consumers really have been over the last couple of months.
Yeah, that's a massive percentage increase. Leighton, why? I mean, is it just oil price related, or are there other factors at play?
Look, it's mainly the oil price and the rand-US dollar exchange rate. Those are the two factors that contribute, obviously, the most to this fuel price. You know, and we get asked a lot, yeah, but, you know, how do we mitigate against the increases? Well, I mean, obviously, with international oil prices, there's very little we can do. Mm-hmm. The rand-US dollar exchange rate, and I think, you know, one of the things that we've been quite vocal on is you've got to create that economic environment that deals effectively with that rand-US dollar exchange rate, because that's the one part that we do have some control over. Obviously, there is the issue of the taxes that get added to the fuel as well. Is there any way we can, you know, minimize those? That's a question that's asked. But the minute you take those out of the equation, the question becomes, well, you know, if government isn't going to get money through that mechanism, where else are they going to get it? So there's a lot of complexity to that question, Amy.
Leighton, I just feel like, you know, there's such instability in our public transport sector as it is, that this is just another blow for the average commuter.
No, it's absolutely. Certainly, you know, we would encourage people as a way to save fuel, you know, to use their vehicles as sparingly as they possibly could if that becomes an issue for them. And then to obviously use public transport where it is available, where it is affordable, and where it is reliable. And in the absence of that public transport that is affordable, reliable, you know, what do people do? You know, people can't use a bicycle to travel 20 kilometers to work every day. It's just not practical. So, you know, one of the things that we would certainly like to see, not only from a fuel saving point of view, but from a safety point of view, is reliable, safe, affordable public transport.
Yeah,
it's essential.
Yeah, I mean, it breaks my heart. I was chatting to the man that comes and works in our garden once a week, and he lives in Philippi. I live in Noordhoek. He's got to really battle public transport to get to us. And I joked with him. I said, Michael, you need to get fit and get a bicycle.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is that people make, you know, it's incredibly difficult for people to be mobile. Now, we look at a country like South Africa where we have, you know, rampant unemployment. One of the things that people have to rely on is being able to get to job interviews. Mm. They need to be, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword, because at the moment, people are in a fortunate position that you can do a lot of things via Zoom. But that's not going to stay forever. People are going to have to start being mobile again. And when we look at this issue of people being able to get to job interviews, we have to start asking the hard questions, Amy. You're absolutely correct. People cannot afford to buy vehicles. They can't afford to put the petrol in the vehicles. Mm. So they have to rely on public transport. And if that public transport isn't available, the problem isn't going to get solved. And it's such a deep problem that we often gloss over it. But that's the reality we've got to face.
Totally. Leighton, if we just look at things we can control, if we're driving around daily in our vehicles, what are ways that we can try and minimize the amount of petrol we use?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you can avoid using your vehicle, you know, is that trip really necessary? You've got to ask yourself that. If it is, obviously, then you've got to use your vehicle. Try and be on the road outside of the peak times. In other words, don't be on the road during early morning and late afternoon if you can avoid it. Start driving. You know, hanging on your brake the whole trip, those things are going to use a lot more fuel. You know, at the end of the day, it's a very difficult question to answer because people's driving habits are going to be different.
Yeah.
It's something you've got to monitor. And if you can, get away around making long trips and stop start trips. That's the best advice we can give.
Driving with your windows open, does it make a difference?
Oh, not really, no.
It's negligible.
You know, if you need to open those windows, I think the 1 cent saving you're going to make isn't going to break your bank.
Got you. Leighton Beard, thank you so much for your time this Sunday morning.
Thank you very much, Amy. Good to speak to you.
Thanks, and the same to you. That was Leighton Beard, AA spokesperson, chatting to us on the petrol price increase, which is coming into effect on Wednesday or midnight on Tuesday night. So you want to go and fill your tank between now and then. It's a very significant increase. It's over 90 cents a litre, and you're going to feel it at the pump. Trust me.